Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, it is good to be with you. I know I've told you that. That's not the medicine talking. I sincerely mean that from the bottom of my heart. I miss y'all when we're not able to be here. And I miss, of course, being in the pulpit. I'm grateful for the men God has chose to call to preach as far as in our church. And I'm grateful for that. And when they fill in for me, they all do a fantastic job. Joe, I heard you did a great job the other night. Was praying for you, buddy, Sunday night. And Brother Stephen, he survived another one, right, Brother Bill? I think Brother Stephen, anyone Brother Stephen survives is a good day. But anyway, again, thank you guys for filling in for me, and I appreciate that. Philippians chapter 3, very familiar passage of Scripture, but what I'm hoping to do is kind of use it as a springboard for where we're going this year. Of course, here we are, January 5th, 2014. Hard to believe it's 2014 already. It seemed like just 6 days ago it wasn't. But 2014, and here we are. We are on the start of a new year. 2013 is over. To some, we say thank God. Thank the Lord. Amen. To some, we are grateful that, you know, 2013's over because of the past memories, the haunting memories or whatever. Maybe some bad choices or bad decisions that we did in 2013. So to some, it's a joy that it's over. To some, it was a great year. To some, it was a wonderful year. Maybe in 2013, you gave your life to Christ. God saved you. He changed your life. And in which we say, hallelujah, amen. What a joy to know that in 2013, you began your walk with God as a born-again believer. And we celebrate that, and we're grateful for that. But one thing I love about here we are, the first Sunday, if you will, of a new year. One thing I love about a new year is with a new year comes another opportunity that we have, of course, by the grace of God, to serve the Lord and to honor the Lord and to do something for God this year that maybe we've never done in our life. I want to preach really, the essence of the sermon is really around one simple word. I've been thinking about this word for several weeks now. Even was looking forward to this service, to preach this service, and to preach this sermon. And here's the word. The word simply intentional. Intentional. My pastor used to say, and I heard him say on many occasions, that things don't just happen. They happen just. Things don't just happen. Many times people will say to me, preacher, I just want to grow in my walk with God. Well, let me just help you with something. The only way that's going to be possible is if you're intentional about it. Amen? If you're intentional. So with that, Philippians chapter 3, please stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's holy word. And we'll start in verse 12. Now the backdrop, you know the story perhaps, so let me give you the backdrop. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter. That's what the book of Philippians is. It's literally just a letter that he's writing to a local assembly, the church at Philippi. They would have received this letter. They would have read this letter. And this letter comes from the great Apostle Paul. Out of all the men in the Bible, Paul is probably one of the most phenomenal characters as far as what it means to leave your old life and serve Jesus with every fiber of your being. So that's the backdrop. Now look at verse 12. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we love you. We pray your blessings on the reading of your word. God, I ask for your help today. I pray that your Holy Spirit indeed will help us, will guide this service, and Father, will truly point people to Christ, because that's our intention, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Excuse me. Intentional. What does it mean to be intentional? Well, by way of notes, if you want to write this down, you can even look it up. I just kind of Google searched the definition here. The word intentional just simply means to be deliberate. It means to be done on purpose, not by accident. It means to be deliberate. It means to be done on purpose, not by accident. Intentional. I want to preach this morning on simply this message, living an intentional life. Living an intentional life. And there's three areas that you're going to hear, and you're going to hear about them all year long. Three areas that I pray to God that we, as God's people and the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, will be in, intentional in. When it comes to being intentional, first word, I pray that this year we will stay, or maybe not even stay, maybe begin now, a new start, a new year. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, it's just a new year. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, it's a new year, but it's, as I said a moment ago, it's another opportunity for God to do something amazing through and in your life. God, did you hear me? God wants to do something miraculous in your life. You say, yeah, but preacher, I mean, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I've never really done much for God. Well, change that. Change it. Amen? You say, ah, preacher, I'm just one of those, you know, behind the scene, I don't really get involved, and I don't really, you know, I don't really have this. Listen, let's change that attitude. Let's have an attitude of being intentional. Let's not just show up just to show up. May we show up with intentionality. May we show up with anticipation. May we show up at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist with a sense of expectancy, believing God may do something today. You know something, here's something else, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. But here's what my prayer will be this year, that when it comes to intentional, number one, may we be intentional, first of all, write this down, in our worship. May we be intentional in our worship. Now, in the context, the Apostle Paul, he's very focused. He loves athletics. As a matter of fact, often in Paul's writings, he will use athletic events to make spiritual application. That's one of the reasons I think he wrote the book of Hebrews, because he talks about the race in Hebrews chapter 12. He talks about running the race here in Philippians. He talks about a lot of events and this Olympic style games that Paul would have been aware of in his culture. So Paul takes those events and he takes those athletic events and he ties them in Scripture. And Paul's telling us, listen, I haven't obtained. Now when I read this, here's what my mind thinks about. Paul's saying in these verses, not that I've already attained, I'm not perfect. Now, when I read that, I think to myself, if Paul isn't where he needs to be, where in the world am I? If Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, as far as spiritually, I haven't attained this spiritual perfection. I haven't obtained what I need to be. Paul, in another passage of Scripture, used words, and I paraphrase, he talked about, you know, oh, wretched man that I am. Here he is, this born-again believer, wrote majority of the New Testament, apart, I think, from Luke, who wrote the most wording. But as far as books, Paul wrote the most books. But here is Paul, the great apostle Paul, and he says, I haven't obtained, but here's one thing I do. I'm going to forget the past. Now, of course, we know the past. He's talking about what his upbringing was and how he was raised a Pharisee in the earlier verses of chapter 3. So all that religion, he said, guess what? That's nothing. That's rubbish to me. I want Jesus. So let's be intentional this year in our worship. Look at our passage of Scripture. The Bible tells us in verse number 9, let's just back up a little bit. In verse number 8, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Look at that. Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, when we think about this, and sometimes we read these verses, we think, well, we've read these verses so many times that they be, preacher, we know these verses. We've read these verses. How can anything new come out of these verses? Well, I don't necessarily pray that anything new comes out of them, but what I do pray that God uses it because God's word is alive. Amen? And God's word is just as real today as it was when God authored it. It's a lie, it's a living book. That's what's so different about the Bible as opposed to any other book. The Bible is the book of books. The Bible is indeed that, is God's word. Is God's word breathed out and holy men wrote it down as God gave it to them. But look what he says in verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. When you look up the word worship, now there's a lot of definitions that you'll find of the word worship. I like one definition. It's an old English definition. And using the word worship, excuse me, it means to ascribe honor, worth, or excellence to God alone. It means to ascribe honor, worth, or excellence to God alone. In 2014, may you and I, as God's people, if we're born again, now if you're not saved, I'll talk to you in just a moment, and I'm so thankful to God that you're here because you're going to have an opportunity to get saved. You're going to have an opportunity to trust Jesus as your Savior. Hey, guys, didn't see you. You ready to play basketball this week? All right, we're going to win. Brother Stephen's going to be coaching you. We're undefeated, right? So if we lose, it's Brother Stephen's fault. Medicine, man, medicine kicks in. You got to know your crowd. But anyway, when it comes to worship, Paul says, here's my focus. Here's my ambition. Here's my goal that count all things but loss. What, Paul? All of my religion, I was a Pharisee. I was a stock of Benjamin. I was this. I was that. I was in the elite group of as far as Jews is concerned. And Paul says here in verse 8, I count all of that loss. It's nothing to me. What matters most to me, here it is, what matters most to me is Jesus Christ, the Lord God. That's what matters most to me. He says that in verse, for the excellency. So if worship means to ascribe honor, worth, or excellence to God alone, Paul says, here's what I want. I want more of Jesus and less of me. I want more of God and less of me. He says, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Oh, by the way, aren't you aware that our own righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God? It's worthless. Filthy rags. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Things don't just happen. They happen just. You know, I love songs. I love music. I love all kinds of different, as far as gospel musics and things. I love Southern gospel music. A little country flavor every now and then is not too bad. My wife, somebody said, Leslie says I'm a little country. She's a little rock and roll. So, and that may be the medicine because she's looking at me like you're in trouble. But forgiveness is easier than permission. Amen. I kind of live by that. And that God's a forgiving God, babe. Just remember that. She says, yeah, wait till I get you home, Buster. But anyway, she don't call me Buster too much, but she does every now and then. In our worship, things don't just happen. It happens just. My challenge to you for 2014, and my challenge to us as a church, is that we're intentional. Remember what one of the thoughts of intentional means? Not by accident. Not just kind of, you know, I think sometimes, let me go somewhere with this for a moment. Whether I'm preaching, whether Michael or Brother Stephen or Joe or my wife, whoever it is, no matter who it is that's preaching, I think sometimes if we're not careful, and I wholeheartedly believe in the power of one sermon. God can do more in one sermon than we often give him credit for, right? So I do believe in that. I do believe in the power of the preaching of the Word of God, and God can do in one sermon more than we give him credit for. But here's what I also believe. I also believe that we as God's people would get more out of sermons, regardless of who's preaching it, that we would get more out of sermons if we come intentionally prepared for the sermon. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Being prayed up, having our sins confessed, having our, you know, having a walk that is close and clean to God. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, and even in my life, and I hope you understand this, even in my life, last couple weeks have been kind of tough. When you're sick sometimes, man, the devil comes at you and just all kinds of crazy things. And I got to be careful. I got to combat that a lot of times and understand that, hey, when you're weak, man, Satan comes at you. But understand something. When we come to church for 2014, here's my challenge to you. That we come with an understanding and an intentionality. Look up here for a minute. Everybody look up here for a minute. That we're coming for one purpose and one purpose only. To worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we come. That's why we assemble. You say, yeah, but preacher, I have a lot of friends, and so do I. At least you tell me that. No, you are. I love you dearly. I have a lot of friends, and I love being around friends, and we have a good time when we assemble. But ladies and gentlemen, ultimately, we've come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a little bit about the Lord. The one who died for you 2,000 years ago. The one who hung on the cross, took your sin, took your pain, took your punishment, took your hell, and he died on that cross. They buried his body. 3 days later, he arose. And because he arose, the moment when you as a child or as a teenager or as an adult called upon God to be your Savior, repenting of your sin and placing your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, that Savior saved you and changed your life. That's the God. That's what we're talking about, that we come with being intentional in our worship. Boy, may that be a challenge. That's a challenge to me. It's a convicting challenge to me about being intentional. I've tried over the years to stay teachable. One thing I've learned, here's another lesson that I've learned in life, and I've learned this as in ministry as a pastor, and for you young preachers, that sometimes people that refuse to be teachable, you can't really do much with people like that. If you're not going to be teachable, there's not much we can do. There's not much we can help you with. But if 2014, if you will allow yourself to be teachable by falling in love with Jesus and understanding that we're coming to worship Jesus, not to be worshiped ourselves, but we're coming to worship Jesus and allowing ourselves to stay teachable, I promise you, and here's what I believe biblically, I believe 2014, if you'll stay teachable or become teachable for 2014, God will revolutionize your life. God will do things in your life that you never dreamed he could do. But if you have an attitude that, you know, nobody can teach me anything, they probably won't. But I'm hoping, and my prayer is, that man will be intentional in our worship. So what's some areas of worship that we need to stay intentional in? Let me challenge you. Can I challenge you as your pastor? Thank you. Let's stay intentional in our worship, our church attendance. Amen. You know, it's an honor to be able to come to church, Brother Bill, Miss Bonnie, Paul. It's an honor. It's a joy. You know, you've heard me say this, and I mean this from my heart. I don't have to go to church. I get to, thank God. I get to go to church. You know, I wish, if I'd have thought about it ahead of time, you know, I mean, us coming to church, I know for a lot of others, it was a lot harder getting to church this morning. Man, the roads were crazy as I was walking across there this morning. Slow down in the parking lot, okay? And I am on medication, and it would be bad, but slow down in the parking lot. If not, we're going to put some slow block things out here. What do you call them things? Nope. That's not what I'm talking about. Speed bumps. But you said it, and I wanted to get the limelight for saying it, but just kidding. But no, slow down in the parking lot, seriously. Somebody, I don't know who it was, Pat Hall, was doing donuts in the parking lot this morning. You got in your parking lot. That's pretty cool, though. I don't know if it was Pat or not. I probably got him in trouble. But anyway, where was I? I have absolutely no idea. Church attendance. We get to come to church. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I mean, I get there if I can. Let's go back to the word intentional. What would happen if we were intentional about our church attendance? Seriously. Let me ask you another question. Does God ever do anything to you in church service? Does he ever speak to you? Listen, I'm not talking about the preacher. I mean, you never know what's going to come out of this crazy preacher's mouth sometimes, especially on steroids. Am I looking buff? Got on the scale the other day at the doctor's office, second time in a week, and she weighed me. Nurses, if you're a nurse, you need to work on your bedside manner. This is what she says to me. I looked down, I look up, and I was excited. And I'm like, wow, 300. She says, 300.2, sir. I'm like, lady, you have no idea. It took me 9 days of sickness to get down to 300.2. All right? Amen? So, intention on our worship. Intention on our church attendance. Here's another thing. Very simple. Seem elementary. Intention on our Bible reading. What would happen in 2014 if we were more intentional on our Bible reading? One of the most intentional young people I've ever met in my life that comes to Bible memorization is Joe Schultz. How many verses have you memorized, Joe? I'm not trying to put you on a pedestal. You inspire me with your Bible memory. Over 300 Bible verses. More than just Jesus wept. Amen? Some of you are like, yep, got my verse for the week. Jesus wept. Amen. That's good. But you know what? That verse says a lot. That's a powerful verse, by the way, not to make light of that. It's a tremendous verse. But over 300 verses he memorized. He said, I'll preach, I can never memorize. You're right. You won't do anything unless you're intentional about it. I'll preach, I can never read my Bible through in a year. You're right. You won't do anything unless you're intentional about it. I'll preach, I can never be faithful to church. I didn't even say anything about Sunday school. I need to put a plug in for Sunday school. Sunday school is a phenomenal. Are you aware? Let me just let you in on a little thing. This is proven statistically. Are you aware that the average person that gets saved, joins a church, if they don't get in, I'm going to use the phrase of the speed bump. What's the word? Stay with me. Of the study, of the research. Of the George Barna Group. That's what I was trying to find. Thank you, Lord. George Barna Group. It's proven that if a person gets saved, joins a church, if they don't get in some type of small group. Now, hear me. By small group, I mean Sunday school. Our culture wants to call Sunday school small group. I don't have a problem with that. It takes the church large, as far as Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. It takes a church of 220, 230 people, or 3,500, however many we have. And it breaks us down into smaller segments. In a Sunday school setting, a lot of times age appropriate, or even as far as the dynamics of whatever you're in, parents or what have you, and it takes it and puts you in those small groups. Here's the stat. If a person gets saved and joins a church, if they do not get involved in a small group setting, they'll be gone within 5 years. You say, well, preacher, why? Wait a minute. It's about being teachable. It's about staying teachable. It's about submitting to the Lord. It's about wanting to worship the Lord and learning more of Him. You say, yeah, but preacher, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You're right. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But what I find in my Bible, the ones that truly got saved wanted to be around other church people. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Scripture teaches. What I see in Scripture, people that got saved, they submitted, they got baptized, they became part of local New Testament churches, and they assembled on a regular basis. You realize the first century church assembled more? They were together all the time. On a daily basis, they were together. So Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, a lot of you work on Wednesday nights, and I understand that. Listen, I know what it's like to work in different areas of different fields, but being intentional, staying intentional in our worship, in our Bible reading. Here's the second thing, being intentional, living an intentional life, number two, in our witness. Go to John chapter 1 for a moment. Turn back to the book of John, chapter 1. I love this passage of Scripture. We'll start in verse 35. What does it mean to be a witness? Excuse me. When we're talking about being a witness, witnessing, you could write next to that just simply sharing your story. Sharing your story. Has Jesus saved you? Are you born again? sweet friend, you have a story. You say, yeah, but preacher, I was saved when I was a kid and I'm an adult now. Doesn't matter. You have a story. You say, preacher, I was saved, but to be honest, I've never been faithful to church. I've never been intentional in my worship. I've never been intentional in my Bible reading. I've never really had that. Doesn't matter. What matters is now. Amen? Too many people, too many believers get so caught up with the past, they never do anything in the future. They never propel themselves. They get so locked in bondage to what they've done in the past. Listen, there's a great thought. If you've asked God and God has forgiven you of that, guess what? You have no right to not forgive yourself. So here's what you do with your past. You learn from it. You'd be a fool to not learn from it. We learn from the past, but we move forward and we don't have to be in bondage to the past. And I say, what a friend we have in Jesus, man. What a great God that we serve. Witnessing, sharing your story. Here's something else to keep in mind. Witnessing isn't so much something that we do as much as it is who we are. We are witnesses. Jesus said, matter of fact, in the book of Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, remember what he told him? He said, wait in Jerusalem. You're going to be endued with power. The Holy Spirit of God is going to come. He's going to empower you. So wait in Jerusalem. By the way, that was a very dangerous, that was probably the most dangerous areas of the world to be in at that time for those Galileans. But Jesus said, wait there. So they waited. The Holy Spirit of God comes on them in power. The empowerment of the church, not the birthday of the church. Pentecost isn't the birthday. Pentecost was the empowerment of it. So they get empowered with the Holy Spirit. And what did Jesus tell them they would be? Not that they would do. Jesus said, and ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses. Witnessing isn't so much something that we do as it is something that we are. We are witnesses. Now the question is this. Are we a good witness or a bad witness for Jesus? If people look at our lives and they say, wait a minute. There goes somebody that's different. There goes a believer in Jesus. Man, there's something different about them. Good witness or are we a bad witness? Well, look at the text. John 1:35. And again, the next day after John stood, two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, look at this, Simon Peter's brother. Now notice the next verse. Simon Peter, look at this, Andrew, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew, Operation Andrew, finds the Messiah, tells us here. He sees Jesus. He starts following Jesus, but he's so excited. He doesn't want to follow Jesus alone. He wants his friends. He wants his family to follow Jesus with him. So he runs. He gets his brother, and he says to him, hey, we found Jesus, man. We found the Messiah. Come with me. Come, if you will. Come and worship with me. So he comes, and he finds him, and the Bible tells us, he brought him to Jesus. Here's the thought. Staying intentional, first, number two, in our witness. You and I that know Jesus as our Savior, we have to be intentional in this. We make conscious effort. We do it intentionally here at Emmanuel when it comes to soul winning. I've had people say over the year, well, preacher, why do you have to schedule soul winning? Well, here's my thought on that, and here's my rebuttal, if you will, to those that don't believe in that. Here's my rebuttal to it. We schedule everything else, right? We don't just show up and say, oh, we'll just show up. You know, matter of fact, let's just show up and we'll start service whenever we want to start service. No, we don't run a flop shop around here. Our Lord deserves better. Amen? Our Lord deserves better. That's why we practice and the soloists practice and in the orchestra. Brother Stephen's really passionate and burdened this year for the orchestra and the choir and taking it to another level. And I love that. I'm grateful to God for that. But we want to be intentional. Here's some statistics on this. 96%, here it is, proven. 96% of folks who get saved and join the church will do so out of relationships. Here's the relationships. Friends, people get saved. You become friends with people. They get saved, they join the church. Friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Those are often the relationships. 96% of people who come to Christ and join the church do so through the relationships between friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. So kind of keep that in mind. So we see that even in the context of this passage. The Bible tells us Andrew, he sees the Messiah. He starts following the Messiah. He then runs to Peter and says, "Hey, we found the Messiah, Peter." "Really?" "Yep." He runs and he brings him to Jesus. Very profound, very simple, very passionate passage of Scripture. But in our witnessing effort. Here, you say, "Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not very good with speaking. I'm not very good with, I get nervous as far as telling people, and I just don't know what to say." Let me share with you. Here's what I want you to say. Here's what I want you to share when it comes to witnessing. Here it is. I'll set it up like this. Has Jesus saved you and changed your life? Has he done that? Just share that story. That's it, man. Share that story. A lot of times people say, "Well, preacher, I'll just win them with my life." You'll never win them with your life. Now, that needs to be, that's a powerful influence. Your life is, a life that's been changed by Jesus, is a tremendous opportunity for God to use. But ultimately, the only way anybody gets saved is through the gospel. So we show them with our life, but we win them with our lips by telling them, and let me share to anybody here today that's never trusted Christ, you've never been born again, let me share with you, sir or ma'am, right now, that if you will repent of your sin and believe the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians 15, if you'll accept Christ, you'll believe the gospel by faith, asking God to forgive you of your sins, and by faith trust Christ and Christ alone to save you, guess what? He'll save you. He'll change your life. He'll do what the Bible calls, born you again into his family and kingdom. What an amazing God. What an amazing Savior that he is. You say, "Yeah, but Pastor Harold, how can you say that? How can you tell me that Jesus will do that for me?" Let me tell you how I can say that. I can tell you that experientially. I've experienced that myself. I've experienced forgiveness from the God that created me. And God saved me through the shed blood of his son Jesus when I was 16 years old back in 1988. God born me again. So may we stay as God's people and members of this local New Testament church, may we stay intentional in our witness. And thirdly and lastly, may we stay intentional in our walk. 2014, may we stay intentional in our worship. Deliberate. Intentional. Deliberate. Not by accident. Means we absolutely do it with purpose. There's an intentionality of it. We don't just throw it together. We don't just, whatever. You know, I'll eventually do this or I'll eventually do that. Here's what I've learned about things. If we don't make an intent and if we don't make a deliberate attempt, a lot of times it just won't get done. It just will not get done. So may we in 2014... And by the way, I'm not necessarily going to give you your personal goals. I try to stay goal-oriented. But as your pastor, this is on my heart. What would happen? What would happen if every member, including your preacher, what would happen if every member was intentional? Was it intentional in our worship? Was it intentional in our witness? And thirdly, our walk. Often in Scripture, the Bible talks much, Paul talked much about our conversation. You know, and the word conversation is our conduct, our walk, our behavior, who we are. Some thoughts that come to my heart when I think about staying intentional in our walk. Make sure that our walk is exemplary of being a born-again believer in Jesus, that his life has been changed or her life has been changed by Jesus Christ. May we be conscious of our walk. Maybe in our hobby life, maybe in our hobbies, maybe in our habits, maybe just some other things, our home life. You know, Dr. Johnny Hunt said it best, and I absolutely love this statement, very convicting statement. He said, "You know, if we succeed in every other area of our life, but we fail at home, we failed." If we succeed in every area of our life, but we fail at home, ladies and gentlemen, we're failing. May we be intentional this year. Husbands, be intentional with your wife. Be intentional with your family. You know, set time up to do things together. Go out to eat. Take your wife out to eat. You say, "I'll preach, I don't have time." You better make time. Ladies, amen. Yeah. Better make time. Fellas, and I'll say the first, and I'll get myself in trouble, but I don't mind doing that. Because when you're on medicine, you can get away with it. Being intentional in the context of your marriage. I have a lot of hobbies. I love a lot of hobbies. I play golf. I scare animals in the woods. I have a lot of hobbies. But you know what? My number one, maybe I can say it like this. Not to be disrespectful. Not to be irreverent. Not to be, just hear my heart in this statement. What would happen if we treat our marriage with the intensity? Fellas, look up here. What would happen if we treat our marriages with the same intensity that we do our hobbies? My wife's like, "I'm getting a new set of golf clubs." No. No, no. What would happen in our marriages? What would happen in our relationship with our kids? Man, you want to really, really feel how out of shape you are? Play basketball with your boys. Amen. Coach them. That'll bless you. We're having a lot of fun doing that. Enjoying that. I love to make them run. They asked me the other day, I said, "You going to run a suicide with us?" I said, "No. I'm not going to do that." There's some things I pray about, and God hasn't given me peace about doing a suicide, because I will have to have 911 on standby if we do that. But being intentional in our hobbies, being intentional in our homes. Man, what would happen? Being intentional in God's house. What would happen this year? Seriously, and I'm not a prophet. I'm not trying to, you know, speak some mystical thing, but I just imagine. I try to be a visionary, and I try to imagine in my mind what could happen. What could happen if we get intentional about witnessing with our families, our friends, our relatives, our neighbors? Start inviting them. There was another statistic, and I forget the number, so I'm not going to butcher that, but there was another statistic that was recently given, and they polled a lot of people. They polled non-Christian people, people that aren't saved. And here's what the question was. If you were asked by a friend, relative, associate, if you were asked by someone to go to church, would you go with them? The overwhelming response was, yes, if I was invited, I would go to church with somebody. You got an open door, Emmanuel. You got an open door. Why not invite them? Amen? Why not invite them this year? Let's be intentional this year about inviting people to God's house. You say, "Ah, preacher, I don't know. We're not a perfect church." You're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, because you'll mess up its perfectness. Can I get a witness in the building? We're not a perfect church, but ladies and gentlemen, God's done amazing things here, and He's continuing to do amazing things here. I was sharing with Brother Bill some of the things that are on my heart for this year. We were bouncing some ideas off each other this morning, and I said, "Hey," I said, "I'm really passionate. I've got a goal for some Sunday school things that I'm really praying over, and so we're praying about that. You pray about that with us." But you're going to be hearing more about that soon. But my point is this. Things don't just happen. It has to be deliberate. And here's something else I've learned. Let me give you this, and I'll give you an invitation. Here's something else I've learned in ministry especially. When it comes to ministries and you see things that are not right, rather than becoming part of the problem, let's try to be part of the solution to the problem. Amen? Being intentional. Hey, you know what? Yeah, this is lacking over here. You know what? I can give a little time to help in that area. Hey, you know, this is, you know, over here, man, I see this. Bus route workers. Man, preacher, I see kids coming here all the time. They're crazy all over the place. I'll tell you what, here's how we can solve that. Why not come a little earlier and help do some crowd control? We'll give you a taser. It's amazing. That was the medicine. Just kidding. And that is over the World Wide Web, so our attorneys are being contacted as we speak. Uh-oh, forgot, you got to know your crowd. Being intentional. Living an intentional life. What would happen? Man, what a challenge. What would happen if every one of us, including me, what would happen if every one of us was intentional this year? Not just going through life, just kind of haphazard. If it happens, great. Da, da, da. What would happen if it was intentional? What would happen tonight? Well, we're not in services tonight. Anyway, so that didn't really work well. Wednesday night or even Sunday. What would happen if we said, you know what? The next time I go to God's house, I'm going to be intentional. And I'm going to make sure my sins are confessed. I'm going to make sure I'm walking with my Lord, that I'm in fellowship with my Lord. And I'm going to pray that God does something supernatural the next time I show up. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, God could do that. I've seen him do that. He's an amazing God.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.